Hello, friends. On today's show, turn them plants into plastic, get forgotten, nuke it, and get a slightly late Christmas present. Well, that's coming up. Jessica, please give us the intro.
We all need that one friend, don't we? The one that, no matter how crazy things get around us, always has some good news to share. Hey, what if you had two friends like that? That's twice the good times. On the rocks, not for long, because everything sounds better when you're two beers in. Now, here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
So weird.
My mother and I very much had that type of language to where... You know, the thing. Yeah, the thing. I know exactly what you the thing from before with the guy.
The thing from before with the guy.
Absolutely.
I'm on it, Mom.
And the stuff.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. And the things.
Yes.
Well, actually, but she would go into Cajun French.
Oh,
the
man.
Shaws. The Shaws. Which means the thing. The Shaws. And I ended up naming one of my dogs Shaws.
And he was definitely a thing.
Oh, that poor dog.
That dog was a mess.
We didn't keep him very long. I didn't keep him very long. He was a beagle.
He had issues.
He was a great dog, but he was a beagle.
He had separation anxiety.
Meaning?
So he would tear up Brett's apartment every time he was out of his sight.
My 500-square-foot apartment.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was...
I have no idea how a dog operates a chainsaw, but for some reason...
That dog did.
This dog...
Welcome to Two Beers In. Which we were having... This is almost like a Patreon episode that we started with.
You get a little peek behind the Patreon there.
That's right. That's right. Hey, everybody. This is Two Beers In. I'm one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. This is a show that... talks about positive things like my long-lost beagle.
Beagles and cream cheese.
And enjoying... And
no?
And no. Oh. No, I got a visual, Doug. Thank you.
Glad to be there for you.
And now on our third drink of gin and tonic with a splash of Angostura bitters. Again, my name's Brett Weaver. That's Monica.
Hey, Monica Ballard. On my second beer here, this one, an Austin East Cider.
That's not a beer.
Okay. Well, on my second alcoholic drink.
Thank you.
All right.
And there's Doug over there.
And I got a gin and tonic with no Angostura bitters.
Still, you stuck to your guns.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to tell you some stories. And I really am kind of excited about this first story because as it goes when it comes to science stuff, especially medicine, when it says, studies say, I never talk about it, right? But in this case, it is, they were saying, no, we're actually doing this now. So I'm excited.
The headline got me excited. Because anytime you can incorporate the word alien into a headline, my ears prick up. Absolutely.
Alien water hyacinth is lethal for lakes, but it's being turned into biodegradable plastic bags and pots and stuff and things.
Oh, and Shaw.
And junk. And Shaws. The Shaws. See, they're
excited about it.
Yes.
Very nice. So the most invasive species on Earth is not man, but it's the water hyacinth.
Okay, what?
Blooming in an ornamental pond, the water hyacinth seems lovely and harmless. But when it you look how it can take over freshwater ecosystems like Kenya's Lake Naivasha. No. Naivasha.
Naivasha.
Okay, I got it right.
Yeah.
We'll get another drink, get back to you.
Well, or Lady Bird Lake.
Yeah, true.
It's
also
here
in
too.
Kenya.
It's here too, so it's not like it's everywhere. One can understand why the UN set up a program specifically to combat this plant. Connecting
water?
Environmental work with business, low-income rural...
rural.
The rural juror
Yeah, it's brought to you by Scooby-Doo.
Trying to get jobs and incentives to handle the issue. So, Doug, you would be very excited about this because they're trying to find a business-based solution to an ecological problem.
Which always works better in the long run.
Yes, make it worth everybody's while. Make it worth everybody's while. It's in everybody's best interest.
Right.
And you can make a little cash off of it.
It's the amazing thing of win-wins. If you can get good win-wins, you actually get commitment.
So the water hyacinth spread across the lake, a phenomenon that can be seen from space.
Wow.
It chokes the life out of many native species, which we know about that too. Here in Austin, they tried letting loose carp to eat the water hyacinth.
How'd that work out?
Well, they put carp in that were...
meat eaters?
Well, no. They put they put carp in that were... where they can't breed.
Oh, sterile.
Sterile.
Okay.
And you know how that always happens when you put a sterile species in a place that they're not supposed to be. You know, as Jeff Goldblum said, life finds a way.
Yeah.
And so now we're having to deal with that. So casting a net or a line into the waters beneath a hopeless exercise for local fishermen who rely on native fish for income. Entering a hyacinth patch, a man can become so entangled it took a government helicopter to free him.
Jeez.
Wow. As long as the hyacinth is destroying the livelihood of the fishermen, there's your one. It's not that it's destroying the environment.
Nope.
Destroying their livelihood. Hyapak offers to pay them for much hyacinth as they want to collect, then dry it, process it, and then turn it into biodegradable alternatives to single-use disposable plastic products
such as
wrappers, straws, tumblers, and party plates.
Woo!
So, again, we got a win-win going on right now, except for the plastic guys that are like, hey, and then we're like, shut up, you.
Feed me, Seymour.
So, thusly incentivized, locals have so far cleared around 47 acres of water hyacinth from the lake. So, I guess there's going to come a time where they want to expand out from that. Can't be
so
just
they're
going
to have to
lake.
Plant more hyacinth to make sure that their margins go up.
Exactly. So, no domestic supply of alternative products was available, and plastic shopping bags became a common item of choice for smugglers. Oh, wow. There we go. Fishermen on the lake speaking with CNN said they're pleased to have the opportunity to make the extra income. The opportunities may continue if upcoming partnerships between Hyapak and Kenya's forestry and land restoration acceleration program succeeds. So you offset the carbon emissions that are going to be produced. You've use less water, and you've added more nutrients. It's a win-win situation for communities and for the planet and for yourselves. So they're already exporting to the U.S. and Germany and will soon expand to India and El Salvador, two countries plagued by water hyacinth. El Salvador!
El Salvador!
Another win for them!
Yes.
Put those 863,000 people you've arrested to work.
Yes.
There we go. So, yeah, obviously it's early stages, but it's proof of concept. It seems to have played out, which means that they've got to be expanding or new companies get created.
So what is it in a hyacinth that allows it to become a petrochemical substitute?
That I don't know.
Like a carbon-hydrogen combination? It just seems to be really close?
Probably slow.
Well, I guess, I mean, most of the petrochemicals we have are from old fern beds from way back in the Pleistocene.
Mm.
So it's possible that it's just the same makeup and they just move it forward.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So apparently there's something in the hyacinth that makes little seedling bags. So you can just sort of harvest the seedling bags and
replant them in the lake, grow more hyacinth, get more.
Well, you send those to the other countries where they don't have the hyacinths already.
No, we don't want the hyacinth.
Right?
We don't want.
No,
everybody can have it.
That's what they're exporting.
Oh.
Right?
No, it'll be everywhere.
Because it's not just that lake where it's at. It's the most, as we read at the beginning of the story, it is the most invasive species.
Feed me, Seymour.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Did you watch the alternative ending to Little Shop of Horrors? Because I don't think
burp.
You want that necessarily going out. It already ate a man. They had to get a helicopter.
It's his own fault.
That's right.
Okay.
I couldn't outwit a flower. Please send helicopter.
This next story, do you want to do it?
Sure. U.S. newspapers are deleting old crime stories. An Ohio news outlet is leading a charge of tradition, or a change of tradition, in American reporting, in which their editor-in-chief calls the right to be forgotten. Mm-hmm. Long considered taboo to retract or erase old stories from newspaper archives, those that feature mugshots and report on residents charged with crimes can, in our search engine's powered world, continue to detract from their professional lives years after they've paid their debt to society.
Right. So to be clear, this is after they paid their debt to society.
Yes. So now,
150 years ago.
Yeah, sure.
In much the same way that civil rights attorneys fight to get citizens' criminal and court records sealed, the editor of Cleveland.com and Plain Dealer newspaper is advocating that newspapers remove old stories regarding crimes or misdemeanors that have been atoned for.
Yeah, and this also has kind of begun in England, in Britain.
Oh yeah, they've got privacy laws about criminals.
And I think these guys kind of looked at it and went, you shouldn't have to have your bullshit stick with you your whole life, especially if you paid your
Or if you've been rehabilitated and that sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you're not guilty. Suppose you were arrested and all of that splashes the newspaper, and then later on they find that, you weren't guilty at all.
Right.
Is
that information still out there?
Suppose someone only focuses on the arrest.
Yeah.
And,
Well, it's about time Lizzie Borden could date again.
She was rehabilitated.
She should give it another. She should give it another whack.
She opened an axe factory after that.
Yeah. So they give the example of someone who was in the health field, stole some drugs from her employer. A judge eventually declared she had not only completed her sentence, but she had totally rehabilitated herself. She lost her license to work in her healthcare field, but as she sought to begin a new career, any Google search of her name brought up the stories about her crime along with her mugshot. Another man was who stole some scrap metal years ago, completed his sentence, and had his record sealed, and yet the story of the newspaper dogged him.
Right.
So as much as when I read the headline, I was kind of like, ooh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of turned around to agreeing with this.
Yeah. It always with the caveat, if you've been rehabilitated.
Yes.
And you've turned your life around, then your worst day shouldn't be the thing that everybody knows you for.
Yes.
There are a lot of people who make mistakes and then atone for it and never do it again.
Yeah.
And it would be nice for them to get the opportunities that people need to have.
Yeah.
To move their life
forward. I mean, like when I killed those 260 people.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, wait.
But you were really
angry. We don't talk about that anymore. I can't believe I outed myself.
Yeah, okay.
Crazy.
Now it's out there forever.
Forever.
Yes.
Because
in the transcription.
People will continue to listen to my podcast.
Don't worry, people. He's not a serial killer. He's just a really bad cook.
Yes.
So the editor makes a good point. These folks are going to be our neighbors, our coworkers, and hopefully contributing members of society someday. So we should figure out ways to at least not be an unnecessary barrier to re-entry for something truly minor and in the past, and for which someone has totally paid their debt.
Yeah.
So these are more modern things. They're not old time.
No.
Yeah, okay.
People still alive that,
They need another chance.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. There we go.
Good job, Ohio.
Yay. And now let's talk about something controversial.
The center of woke America, Ohio. Yeah.
Virginia sets date for first nuclear fusion plant in the U.S. to produce emission-free electricity.
A fusion plant?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yep.
Where in Virginia?
I'll get there.
Democratic governor?
Yeah.
Alexandria. Bye.
It's a bold step towards the future of energy.
It's a Republican governor now.
Youngkin,
yeah.
Yeah, a location and a date have been decided for the first commercial nuclear fusion power plant in America. Secured by Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin with help from Eastern Seaboard Utility Company Dominion Energy. I don't like that name. I will just say it right now. Do not like that name. Chesterfield County will welcome Commonwealth Fusion Systems' experimental ARC plant on the site of a decommissioned coal power plant.
Okay.
Founded on the campus of MIT, the Commonwealth Fusion Systems, which is CFS, is one of the world's leaders in advancing the quest for commercial nuclear. I do this every single time.
Nuclear?
My father-in-law is a rocket scientist.
Yeah.
So.
You got to say nuclear, right?
I always think new clear.
Oh, okay.
That's how I do. So if you hear me slow down, that's why I go nuclear.
Yeah, you don't want to George W. it, huh?
Nuclear.
That's right.
I don't want a nuclear. Yes. Nuclear. Fusion energy, the ultimate energy source for humanity, which replicates the process that forged our sun. Okay, that's a little much.
Yada yada.
The sun itself put out that press release.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought the sun was a mass of incandescent gas, nuclear furnace. Where hydrogen and helium.
It's, the sun has a PR firm.
That's true.
Does it have its permits?
Yes. Yeah. Work will begin on the plant next year, even before a smaller prototype reactor is finished in Fort Devens, Massachusetts.
All right.
Dominion will provide us with development and technical expertise, while we'll provide them with knowledge about how to build and basically scale up, said Bob Mumgard. Governor Youngkin said Virginia managed to attract CFS, which sounds like a disease now. Over 100 other global locations, receiving $2 billion in funding from an estimated 60 private investors that include Google and they're all trying to.
Yeah, all
get
of
to
the
that
data
power.
Centers are actually looking into nuclear energy.
Yeah.
Because the data centers are going to need lots of energy.
Yep. For AI.
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Record quoted outlets putting the figure around $3 billion, significantly less than the ITER fusion reactor in Europe. So, the first component of the ARC plant will be the fusion complex and is slated to be finished in 2026.
All right.
So it's coming.
So the ARC plant will use a tokamak, a donut-shaped chamber enclosed by superconducting magnets that will heat hydrogen isotopes to 180 million degrees Fahrenheit, causing them to form a plasma, fusing and releasing energy as a result. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. So, I mean, but we're a lot further down the road than the thing that was built in the 50s and 60s.
This is true.
I mean, it sounds like a really good microwave.
Yeah. Well, no nuclear waste is produced through the method. And the hydrogen isotopes are either isolated from seawater or produced as a byproduct of the fusion process.
Great.
All right.
One single plant is claimed by CFS to be capable of generating 400 megawatts of electricity. And Youngkin says it may bring billions in economic development.
400's a lot. In the 90s, California built 932 megawatts of energy in the entire 90s.
Wow.
Texas built 20,000.
Yeah.
There's a reason California had a power problem, but
yeah.
400 is a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So the early 2030s is predicted to see the whole of the plant operational and selling clean energy to local partners.
Yeah.
And so then the question is, when they hit proof of concept, how quickly will other things get created? Because, like, I know that the fuel, they're saying that there's no waste.
Right.
But the question is where, how much fuel, like, how difficult is it for them to get the fuel?
The hydrogen?
Yeah.
Hydrogen's easy. You go out into the ocean.
Okay.
Because hydrogen's just hydrogen, oxygen.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Hydrogen's actually fairly easy. It's why they consider it to be a good rocket fuel if you're taking off from, like, Mars or the moon.
Right.
Because all you have to do is crack water into its components.
That's true.
And both oxygen and hydrogen make good fuels.
I think we're about to see... that's bad turn of phrase. You're going to see an explosion of development. It's like, you know, maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't say it that way.
Do you have any property in Virginia? It's okay.
No, we're way over here in Austin.
It could not happen to a nicer place. Can we move it from Chesapeake County a little bit farther west?
Yeah.
Central Virginia. That's all I...
Dear Andrew Heaton.
Yeah.
I've got some news.
You may need to think about moving.
Or, you know, get one of those hazmat suits.
That's right.
Just, we'll get back to you later on it.
Yeah. So, nice. Why don't you do the next one?
Sure. Man finds Christmas gift in wall with his name on it 46 years later.
Yeah.
53-year-old man was tearing down some old drywall this holiday season when he stumbled upon a sort of time capsule. It was a Christmas present wrapped 46 years ago in vintage Disney paper from a bygone era. Meant for a stocking or to be placed under the tree, it was forgotten behind the wall all this time.
Yeah, and if you go to our show notes, go to the link because it has a picture of it that's in there.
And it is vintage Disney wrapping paper.
Yes,
it is so 1970s.
Yes.
It's hilarious. Tim King, who runs a construction business, was helping his parents with some home renovations when he found the package. Before we close up the drywall on the wall, I was like, I should probably look and see if there's nothing back there. And sure enough, there was a present. So I pulled it out, and the paper was super old, like wrapping paper. And then I was like, oh, crap, it has my name on it.
Inside of it were puppy bones.
No. No. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Whatever you say after that's never going to approach.
Underneath the yellowed wrapping paper was a set of Matchbox Thunder Jets.
Oh,
that's our second guess.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
King would said would have been a great gift when he was six.
Yeah.
When they were bought. It can be agony for a kid to wait 25 days to open a present. And if next year one of yours is belly aching, try reminding them of Illinois' Timothy King, who waited 46 years.
Yeah. To get to his puppy bones.
To get his puppy bones.
Sparky!
He's really relaxed.
Oh, yeah. What's left on is this collar with a name tag.
We were
Sparky.
Wondering, why didn't you tell us that you couldn't find the puppy that you were going to give me? We thought we'd just put him in the wall and let you figure it out. Y'all are psychos.
It's right next to the cask of Amontillado.
Yeah. Yes. For the love of God. That's what the dog on the counter collared. For the love of
God. For the love of God.
Actually, it was just a lesson he had to learn. They were going to teach
it.
Him.
That's it. Yes.
I don't know. Did you take care of your puppy? We don't have a puppy. Do you? Are you sure?
Are you sure?
I never understood what they meant by that.
This episode comes with free therapy.
Yeah.
Please call.
You know where else you can get therapy?
Sort of.
By going to patreon.com/2beersin. Where there you can join us. Join us.
Join us.
Resistance is futile.
That's right. In becoming one of our members.
Please.
We'd love for you to be a subscriber and give us money and tell us things. And you can even become a producer if you want.
What?
Which really all it means is that you liked one of our shows. And then you say, could I put my producer credits on it? We'd say, yes, you can.
Hey, what if they suggested a song for the end or something like that?
They can do that by going to, they can go.
Going to the puppy.
Third
two,
drink.
Two Here beers in.
Or three gin and tonics.
Yes, that's right. Two beers in at waitlistpod.com where you can send us an email. And you can also use that by giving us money through PayPal or Venmo and then say, hey, could you play this song?
Yeah.
And we'd be like, yeah.
We will consider it.
Yes.
We will take it under
Macarena.
Advisement.
Yeah, nope.
Nope.
What we would do is if you give me a song that I really, really hate, I will just do my old DJ thing where I would just go on and say, so-and-so wanted me to play this. I ain't playing. It's just not going to happen.
Tell me what you hate, what you really, really hate.
I did that one. Well, we'll talk about that in the Patreon.
Okay.
And also, hey, everybody, thank you.
Yes.
So, Monica.
Yes.
You picked out a very sedate song.
I did. I feel like we kind of all need this before.
What's happening right
before
now?
Before what's happening. Yeah. Like when this episode comes out.
Yes.
Of what's happening right now, the chaos and the, it's just, it's something that we need. And,
yep.
And in looking up a little bit about what the title of this song means. Even,
yes.
It's a composition by Eric Satie.
Yes.
And the title of the song is Gymnopede, number one. It's part of three movements.
Mm-hmm.
And Gymnopede was sort of like athletic games and that sort of thing that the Spartans did.
Oh.
Where, yeah. And they did it naked. So
sure.
Have that in your mind. But Eric Satie, I have seen references to him describing him as the Frank Zappa of his era.
Sure.
And one of the things that he invented was called furniture music. Have you ever heard of furniture music?
No.
Furniture music was sort of like the precursor of Muzak.
Oh,
it was music to listen to as you were doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it was meant to be in the background.
Yeah.
So they consider him the father
kind
of...
Kind of like couch paintings.
Yes.
So fascinating delving into that. But this particular remix contains some extra added elements.
Yes.
Some ornaments as my...
That's done by Fabrizio...
Fabrizio Selli. Yeah. And so I love listening to this version because of these ornamental elements that he's added. And it kind of makes it even weirder.
Yeah.
In a delightful way.
Well, great. So before we push that button.
Yes.
I have been your host, or one of them, Brett Weaver. I'm in my third gin and tonic now. And it's very obvious.
Yeah, he's actually laying down on the stage. Yep,
exactly.
What does it all mean? What does it all mean?
It's like Mr. Relaxation Perry Como.
There we go.
Laying on the Miss Pac-Man game machine over there. I'm your co-host, Monica Ballard. I am finishing off a second adult beverage, an Austin East Cider.
There we go. And Doug.
Is also doing a gin and tonic.
Good for you.
Yay.
Yeah, and usually during the winter months, I don't drink gin and tonic.
I know.
But it just seems right.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Thank
we will
you.
Talk to you next week.
Enjoy.
Bye.